You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Two quick subjects, and two people are in the mix. On Gustav, Paul sent us an email. So the point was maybe everyone should have stayed. What complete nonsense. The mayor would have been publicly executed if the storm had taken lives. Would you have made that gamble, Paul says to our guest, Lois Eric Eli. And Jake from Brooklyn says about the Palin story, I think many people are missing the point of the Palin story. It isn't how her daughter's pregnancy will be interpreted and judged by the electorate. It's what these disclosures are revealing about McCain's decision-making process. It's starting to look like his penchant for gambling is spilling over to other areas. That's from Jake. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Now we're going to talk about Thailand. Today, the prime minister has declared a state of emergency in the capital, Bangkok, following weeks of clashes by protesters demanding his resignation. The clashes today have left one person dead and dozens injured. The prime minister said he had no choice but to take the measure to resolve the crisis that's engulfed the country for weeks. And essentially, the state of emergency triggers sweeping powers, which not only ban public gatherings, but also creates media restrictions. We're joined right now by Jill McGivering, who's following the story for our partner, the BBC, and she comes to us from London. Thanks for being with us, Jill.
You're welcome.
So what does this state of emergency mean exactly? Aren't the protesters, haven't they taken over the prime minister's office?
That's right, and they still are in control of those government buildings. And despite quite a lot of attempts by the Prime Minister to go through judicial processes, they've had a court order against them, they've had arrest warrants issued against them, the protesters are just ignoring those. And as you were saying, since that has escalated into clashes overnight between groups of protesters against the government and other groups who are supporting the government, they met head on and there was no real law and order control around their meeting. One person died, many people injured. I think there's a sense this crisis is reaching a new level. The question is the state of emergency going to make any difference? Because the obvious powers it gives is an extension to the military to allow them to go in and do much more. But we've already heard from the army chief, who has basically said, we are not going to use force to try and get these people out of the government buildings. The soldiers who may be on the streets as a show of force are not going to be armed. So they are clearly, to an extent, sitting on the sidelines and leaving the prime minister looking rather isolated.
That is absolutely extraordinary, really, isn't it, that you have the prime minister who has called for a state of emergency. Essentially, the army is now ignoring him along with those protesters who are demanding his resignation.
Well, yes. I mean, you could say, look at it from the prime minister's point of view and say, well, he is a democratically elected leader. He has control of, you know, he has great support in parliament, control of the newly elected and newly formed government. And yet he is not managing to get proper control of the situation in the city, which seems to be spiraling out of control. We saw the police being really very ineffective in the last week, allowing the situation to deteriorate. They would be around, but often kind of standing back and letting things happen. And similarly with the military, if they are still saying, well, it's not for us to go in and try and clear these buildings, whose job is it? How is the Prime Minister going to restore order? People are saying it looks as though he may have to comply with the protesters' demands and stand down, but clearly that's something he's very reluctant to do.
Well, Jill, I'm wondering if the army here is basically waiting for the opportunity to basically take power, if this is some kind of coup that's sort of going on tacitly, and that the army is really just waiting for the opportunity to say, okay, this is enough, we're going to take back power from civilian control.
Well, we've certainly seen that happen quite often in Thai history, and of course quite recently a couple of years ago when Mr. Thaksin was forced from office. So that's always, I think, something in the back of people's minds. What are the army's ambitions and where do their loyalties lie? Certainly so far, the words we've heard from people at senior army levels, including the army chief, have been saying, look, a coup isn't in anyone's interests. We don't want to do that. It's not appropriate for us to do that. And I think generally that is seen as quite an unpopular move. People in Thailand are quite proud that they've become a modern democracy, and I think they prefer to see politicians in charge, even when the situation is a bit chaotic, than to feel that the military has to keep stepping in. However, having said that, it is interesting to see that the military seems to be having this rather neutral, hands-off approach, and that does raise questions about what they expect is going to happen. And also, I think points to some of the very senior levels of support that some of these anti-government protesters have. These are people who are very well connected and part of the Bangkok elite, and I believe are also supported by some former members of the army who still have good connections, possibly by elements of the army as well.
Jill, what's been the reaction regionally?
I think a lot of people are extremely concerned about what they see happening in Thailand, not least because it's, in a sense, a little bit ironic. When you look at some of Thailand's neighbours, Thailand has always been seen as a country that gave a positive example of having made a good transition from being essentially quite a military government at times into a more starting to mature civilian democracy. And yet here we see the democracy back into chaos. So I think concern from the neighbours, but also a sense that there tends to be in East Asia of, unless we really call to do something, we try and mind our own business. None of those East Asian countries like to be too vocal in criticising what's happening in their neighbours' countries, and they're very against what they call interfering in each other's internal affairs.
Jill McGivering, many thanks to you. Jill McGivering, she's reporting for our partner, the BBC, and she was coming from London, and we'll certainly keep an eye on that story.